Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and this week on the podcast, we have Tracy Tudor from Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles, which just returned for its 13th season on Bravo. This is my first time ever getting to interview Tracy, and you know, she's my favorite person across either Million Dollar Listing show. I think that she has this amazing, unapologetic, infectious, inspiring energy about her, and I think she's such good TV, and I just love the way that she approaches life. So it was really fun to get to talk to her. We talked all about how the pandemic affected the show, affected her business, affected real estate in general. And also this season, we're going to get a glimpse into her new relationship with a personal trainer named Eric, who she actually was introduced to by Frederick as a personal trainer. And they just like really hit it off. And it just, you know, Tracy just seems like so relaxed and happy in this new relationship of hers. And we talked about sort of obviously why it's working so well, but also some of the commentary that comes with being a woman who dates a younger man. It's completely unfair and completely stupid, but she has the best kind of reaction to that and a great kind of head on her shoulders when it comes to that. So I loved what she had to say about that. And we talked about just generally this season and what we're sort of supposed to expect from it. You know, Frederick is now a full cast member on LA and in addition to New York. So he's kind of straddling both shows right now. They're close. So kind of what he's bringing to the show. I think one of my favorite things is the fact that Josh Flagg and Tracy are neighbors. And so there's all these sort of like fun aspects to that that we could talk about. And I really wanted to know if she was around for the Sonia Morgan of it all. You know, when Josh Flagg and Sonia from Housewives of New York were living together in his house and documenting it all on Instagram. And it was just a whole thing. It was so fun. And she was around for that. So she had a fun little story to tell about that. But anyway, you know, it was a really fun interview with Tracy. So keep listening for that. Tune in to Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles Thursdays at 8 p.m. on Bravo. And please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we're here with Tracy Tudor from Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles. Tracy, how are you?
I'm really good. Gibson, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to get to talk to you because I I'm not just saying this, like you have, for the past couple of years, you've really been my favorite person on either Million Dollar Listing. I love your energy. I think that you're very inspiring and you're so unapologetically you. And I just think that you've been such a great addition to the show over the past several seasons.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, you know, I just feel like you really brought this new, something new to the LA franchise.
And
I
can't believe it's all... mouth.
But that's what we love, you know? But I also like, I can't really believe it's already your fourth season. It kind of feels like you've always been there, but it also feels like you kind of just joined. So, I mean, time's weird, but how do you sort of feel as it already being your fourth year?
It's so funny you say that because I was thinking about it and this is my fourth year, but this year's so different for me because it's the first time that I feel like, you know, obviously my first season was sort of overwhelming. I got divorced at the end of it. It was like a total shit show. And then, you know, I spent the next 2 years just really focusing on my career and, you know, finding like myself and my new life and me and the girls moved. And so there was just a lot going on with me personally. And now I feel like I'm settled. And I think you're just going to see a little bit of that on the show this season. My daughter Juliet is going to be on the show with me this season. So that's super cool. And I have a boyfriend and he's on the show. And so it's like, oh, I hope I don't break up with him at the end of the season.
No, you guys seem like so happy
together.
I almost like
have to stay together because then you guys are going to be like, oh my God, she can't keep it together.
I in the premiere, I just feel like I can just sense this just like, again, it's just like a sort of a renewed, refreshed energy. Like you guys just seem really happy together and really, yeah. And I'm excited that you are also like, I mean, you didn't shy away from showing anything in that first season. That was really tough, but like, it feels like the fans must also be sort of in your corner and I'm really going to be happy to see you in this spot, in this place in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had my fair share of struggles. And I do think that a lot of the female fans and even the male fans have been very supportive of me, you know, coming into this, being the only woman on the show. There was a lot of pressure, I think, in the beginning to be like as boss as the guys are.
100%.
And all of that. And I think, you know, I just did it my way. And fortunately, Bravo has been really supportive. And, you know, now I feel like I feel like rebirthed or something. And it's a good, really good place to be.
So you come into the season happy in the personal life, but the professional life is has been a topsy-turvy road and over the past year, because obviously it's been the pandemic. So I'd love for you to sort of like set the scene for us, like just for context, like when the show was starting to film, when was that? What was the deal with your personal business, with the LA real estate market in general? Set the scene for us.
I mean, we were in full lockdown and I wasn't even sure if it was going to pick up and we were going to start. I mean, Bravo was obviously very hopeful and everybody was positive. But at the end of the day, when we started shooting, I mean, everybody, like, it was a brand new thing, I think, for everybody. We had to be COVID tested every week, not even just every week, every time before we actually filmed.
Wow.
I had COVID early on in March, because right before the shutdown, I went to an event and did a panel. And so we were around a lot of people. And, you know, ultimately, I ended up coming back and getting it. So I had the antibodies, but everybody else on the show hadn't gotten COVID yet. So it was constant masks. And then, you know, finally, they figured out a system that worked for all of us. And then the business also started going crazy. I mean, again, we were totally shut down. There wasn't a whole lot we could do in the beginning of 2020. And then, you know, obviously, towards the end of the year, things just got crazy. And into 2021, I mean, I have had one of the biggest years I've ever had.
And it's so interesting, because obviously the New York iteration of Million Dollar Listing started filming before the pandemic and it shut down. And we see the very early days of that. And I feel like, you know, it's going to be such a different vibe on the LA season, because, I mean, just partially because of when you guys filmed probably, but also because I think it's indicative of the fact that so many people moved west. They left the city. And I mean, I just anecdotally in my personal life, I know so many people that spent so much more time out there over the past year or so. Was that your experience in terms of just people that you were working with, people that were kind of fleeing other cities maybe?
Well, it was such a like a bizarre time, because I've always had a lot of New York clients, but we definitely had a lot of people coming from the East Coast and wanting more space and wanting to be in better weather. But it was just a weird all around, like politically, it was weird. It was a tough time, I think, for everybody, and people wanted out. So while there was a lot of people coming into LA, at the same time, there were also a lot of people leaving.
Got it.
So it was just consistent movement. I mean, we had clients, we're closing a deal now where someone had bought this house. We had lost it in a multiple early on. And it was a really tough blow for my clients who were the buyers. And, you know, 2 months later or 3 months later, the person that bought the house just changed his mind and decided to buy, you know, move out and buy something else. And we were able to put a deal together. But it's like the wild, wild west out here. Like, it's kind of like the market's crazy, but it's also unpredictable. And, you know, things that you never thought would sell at numbers are selling. But then also there's a lot of people that are unstable and people are consistently fluctuating and moving.
Do you feel like, though, sort of like generally, are you guys breaking records or are things selling at higher numbers generally? That's sort of the impression that I'm getting sort of from the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've sort of set the stage and we've really had to educate people, because, you know, people love to be like, well, my house and the market's crazy. And people want to
every time
gigantic, ridiculous numbers on their properties. But fortunately, the clients that I'm working with have trusted me and we're pricing properties to go out, you know, in multiple offers. And that in and of itself, I mean, right now, if something sits longer than 30 days, I like start sweating. On some of these higher end properties, it's surprising. You know, they used to be 6 months on the market, you wouldn't even blink an eye. Now you could list something for 25, 26 million, 28 million. And, you know, you have an offer non-contingent and, you know, they want all the furniture and leave your toothbrush. So it's just... It's bananas, but
totally.
21 years I've been doing this, and, you know, just when you think you know it all, like, you know, pandemic happens.
You get for the biggest loop of all time, right? Exactly. Exactly. You can ask totally. For, yeah. I mean, and if you can get through that, you can get through anything, it seems. So I think it's cool to see you. I think it's, you know, it's cool to see you guys working through a lot of these wild moments. I mean, obviously, you know, another kind of aspect to this season of Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles is, you know, he was a guest-ish last season, but Frederick is here full time now. He is on the show. What is your relationship with Frederick, and sort of what can you sort of tease about what he's going to bring being around more often?
Well, obviously we don't always all film together, but
yeah, of course.
Have I definitely have some exchanges with Frederick this season. So tune in for the last half of Million Dollar Listing when I come at him. But I think Frederick is a gigantic success. He's a friend of mine. I adore him. And, you know, I think when you're successful at anything you do and you come into new territory, humility is key. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's something that necessarily is in his repertoire.
I don't think you're wrong.
I know. And I think that that's something that, you know, I talked to him about early on and I said, listen, you know, there's 10% of the agents are doing 100% of the business here. And if you make all of them feel like you're the hot shot in town and you don't sort of create those organic bonds, you will be shut out of the city pretty quickly. Mm. And so he kind of had to learn that and you know, take his own strides and steps toward that. He's definitely had some challenges along the way. But I think that, you know, with anyone that's successful, if you don't come in and shake it up a little bit, then, you know.
Then what are you doing?
There's nothing. Who wants to watch that, by the way?
Right.
Let's start there.
I mean, come on.
It's boring.
No, I mean, honestly, it's like it's interesting having him on both. And I think that like him coming in this first episode and we see him sparring already with people at his own housewarming. I mean, like, I wouldn't expect anything less out of Frederick Eklund.
Oh, God, love him. He's fun. I'm supposed to have dinner with him in the next week.
And you were smart. You just walked away from that drama at that party. So
I can't. I just, listen, between all these boys, like half the time I have to bitch slap them and just be like, you guys, like, are we adult? Wait, aren't we at like a very expensive listing right now? And we're supposed to be servicing our clients, not like bitching at each other in a semicircle.
You're the one that's going to talk some sense into these men. So it's just like, I mean.
That and Josh Flagg. I mean, he sometimes drops knowledge that you're like, wow, where did that come from?
Totally. I mean, it's great. Josh has been around since the second season of this show. It's like, yeah. He is a stalwart and I am obsessed with you guys as neighbors. I think it's the most fun dynamic of him literally having a secret key to your home and taking your dog for a week at a time.
He took him last weekend because it was his birthday weekend and George, the new dog, is in and he's already said to me, like, George is not work. He's like, he's not Jake. And so I need them to be and spend time together. And so let it happen. But, you know, none of this is made up. I will say, like, all of our, like, neighbor stuff and the dog stuff is 100%. I found him in my house. He had recorded something from my bed with my dogs. Like, the man has no boundaries.
I was about to say, there's a thing called boundaries that I don't think that he knows about.
No, but my boyfriend's like, is he in the bed? And I'm like, yeah.
In some ways, maybe it's a little bit of a throuple moment. You know, he's part of the deal. You know, he's part of the package.
We want Bobby. I want Bobby in that throuple. I can't see Josh. Are you kidding me?
But is there anything from your kind of neighborly hijinks that we haven't seen yet that we aren't privy to?
Well, we definitely have some stuff on the show.
Good.
Where I really do try to draw a line with him, but he's like a brother to me. And so when Eric and my daughters get like frustrated, because my daughters are like, he's so obnoxious and rude. And I've had to sit Josh down and be like, you need to connect with my children because they hate you. And you know, I love you, but you can't just walk by them and think that they understand your humor. Like, you have to actually say, hi, Scarlett. You know, like, she can't stand it. Juliet's warming up, but you'll see. The two of them have a whole episode this season.
I cannot wait for that. That's my entertainment right there.
Juliet is not taking anyone's breath.
Tracy, were you around for any of the Sonia Morgan of it all when they were documenting all that on Instagram? Were you around for that?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, first of all, the two of them together are a riot.
They need a show.
I honestly don't know who, like they both love the camera so much that it's like hysterical to watch the two of them together. But we did have a fun night together, and she came over here actually for cocktails. But they had been, let's just say, at a long, long lunch prior to that, and maybe another like party in the flat.
Stop off, right?
So by the time they stopped by and I pulled out like a bottle of rosé, I was like, maybe some crackers and cheese, like
you had to play some ketchup.
Oh my God. But they're them two together, those two together are a riot.
I'm jealous you got to see it in person, because that was endless entertainment right there.
I mean, I think I'm naughty. She is so naughty. It's really a hoot.
I love it. So you also say on the premiere that Frederick is is the person that introduced you to Eric and as a personal trainer. And one, I would love to hear first about, like, because you're super into fitness. I am, as I working out is like my therapy, but like, okay. I'd love to hear about, has that always been the case for you? Like, what does it bring to your life that you just love so much?
First of all, meeting him, there was never any intent. I always wanted a great trainer that was fun and energetic and had a great personality. And Frederick was like, I have the perfect person for you. So when we initially started working out together, I had one of my gay besties, Diggy. And I mean, it was like, imagine like all those supermodels, like in Dog Pound, like, you know, doing their like booty lifts and stuff.
We know the vibe.
And Diggy. And we're just having more fun doing Instagram stories, watching us heave each other like across the gym, having fun. And I think it just created a really fun dynamic between Eric and I that eventually turned romantic. And of course, then COVID happened and we were together and sort of had nothing else to do but to cook. And I was like, I'm either going to get super fat or... And I'm like making like rice casseroles and stuff, or we're going to have to do something. And so we decided to build this gym together in the backyard, and it was inspiring, and he's inspiring. You know, I'm kind of like a wild one, and dare I say, he like tones me down a little bit. He's like, it's Sunday. It's time. It's a rest day. You have work tomorrow. And I'm like, oh.
He's like, a good influence though, you know.
I thought I'd like hang out with Flag and like have some wine, no? And he's like, no. So he's a good influence on me in that way. And he's kept me centered and been like a really a great, great support system.
Yeah, I mean, it really just seems that way. And I also love what you said is just like, a man can date somebody younger and it's no big deal. A woman dates somebody younger and there's a label attached to it. And you're just like, fuck it. Like F what anybody else says. That's just like, who cares? You know what I mean? And I love that that's.
Yeah. And by the way, thank you for that. But the truth is, like, it's not like it doesn't come without moments where you're like, you read some nasty comment or something and you're like, oh, and it kind of, it starts to penetrate. And then I just realized, you know what? I'm happy. And I don't know if it's forever. Like, that's not what it needs to be. And I want to live in the moment and I want to embrace like this, the joy that I'm feeling. I've never felt better. I turned 46 like last week. I'm like, holy shit, I'm 46.
Happy belated.
We're officially 20 years apart. Is it January yet? Because you'll be 27. But the truth is, like, it doesn't feel that way. She's a little bit of an old soul, and I sometimes act like I'm my daughter's age. So I think it's a really nice shift. And I think it's important for like females to even see this, because I think they tend to want to be more judgmental about it. And the truth is, like, it's about being happy and it's about embracing and your own sexuality, good, bad, and ugly, and whatever that is for you, rock it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, and I think that you bringing your relationship onto the show like this is just emblematic of you just being fearless about that. No, but you know what I mean? Like, obviously I think you're probably going to get more unsolicited comments.
Don't let the trolls begin.
Exactly. No, exactly. It's like the fact that that is your mindset to me is just like, that just shows how steady you are in yourself and your relationship. And I think that people can learn from that as well.
You know, what's so true though, Gibson, like I feel like I can hack it, but when I first joined the show, it was not easy for me and it was tough. And I worry about Eric in that sense, because he's sensitive and he's a good person. And, you know, my hope is that he can like take it, but also let it roll off his back and just, you know, do him, because at the end of the day, that's what people end up responding to. When you feed into that negativity, it's not good for anyone. And it's not even a good example to set.
100%. No, I think that's the perfect mindset to have. And we sort of alluded to this earlier, but it's like, you talked a little bit about the pressure you felt as the only woman coming, the first woman coming onto this cast, I guess, I think there was one on the first season, but you're really the first main cast member that's been on for several seasons. And to me, and Kirsten joined New York this past season. She was amazing. And is being on the only woman on a cast full of men, Is that sort of indicative of the real estate world? Do you deal with mostly men in your professional life? Is it more of a mix than we see? I'm just curious if that's
I deal with women and men. I wouldn't say I deal with either or. Both sexes. So that's not something, I think obviously on the show, they all have gigantic personalities. So I think, you know, I think the one thing that I have as well that sort of matches that is equally a big personality. So I can hold my own, but, you know, in our business, there's a lot of successful women. They aren't featured as often, obviously, but it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah. But you're blazing a trail, I think, for a lot of people. And I think it's good for people to see somebody like you on a show like this, you know?
And sort of being unapologetic about it. I don't want to be the female on the show that's like very guarded and protected and sort of minding my manners. I feel like if I'm not as authentic and I can't make mistakes and I can't fail and you can't see me sort of have a difficult time and recover, but also continue to be successful, then you're not really sending the picture to the rest of the universe that you can be a successful woman. You can be funny. You can be crass. You can be sexy. You can be tender. You can be a mother. You can be a wife, or you can be a sex positive, whatever the latest is.
No, totally.
But the truth is you can be all of those things and you can still be successful. And that's the message that I want to get across. I don't want to put on a 3-piece suit and like be buttoned up. I want to be able to wear what I want to wear and be just as empowered and sexy and smart as if I was in, you know, a 3-piece men's suit.
100%. You're doing you. And also, you know, you said you're following the success, but also you don't shy away from things that don't go your way or aren't easy. And I think that's also, the success doesn't come easily. That's right. Basically to me part of the message as well. So all of it's important. And I'm glad that's sort of top of mind for you. We get a glimpse a little bit into sort of like the parenting of it all during the pandemic. You know, it's like, I can't even imagine. Can you just like talk a little bit about what it was like?
I will say this, I'm lucky because thank God I didn't have kids under the age of like 7 where, you know, they really had the responsibility as teenagers and, you know, Juliet obviously being older than Scarlett to be good enough to go sit in front of the computer and do what they needed to do. I'm not going to say it didn't have challenges because it did, and they weren't able to see their friends, but I think it was also a very special time because I don't get them that much. You know, obviously I share custody with Jason, and I think Jason and I both were like, God, having them home and like baking and, you know, playing card games and watching like endless amounts of television together. It was just like a fun time. I honestly say to Eric all the time, and he agrees with me, if we could have like a 2-week sort of stay at home order every year where no one's really allowed to work and you just have to spend time with family, I think it would be such a great thing.
It really is. I mean, I lived in New York for 6 years and I was at home for 6 months, and it was like, I would never have that time. And it was hard, and there was a lot of hard things that happened, but at the end of the day, it was a special time if you were able to be around family and really kind of locked down. So, you know, I think we all gained that appreciation.
Yeah. I mean, God bless the parents that had like top toddlers and 5-year-olds and had to like sit in front of the computers with them. Like they're the real heroes. Like,
totally. I don't disagree with that.
I was baking and like making casseroles and like learning how to like do squats, you know?
Hey, you're more well-rounded by the day, you know? This is your 4th season on Million Dollar Listing, and it obviously ups your profile in different ways, not just real estate wise, but, you know, you gain a lot of followers from being on the show and being associated with everyone else in the cast. And it feels like it feeds itself. It must. And I'm curious, in your words, how has the show affected your business and your career and sort of the opportunities that you've gotten?
It's been a blessing. And I think like anybody who's on a reality show now understands this more than ever. You know, when we all started watching like the Kardashians 18 years ago or whatever, everybody was like, this is so dangerous. This is, you know, scary. This could kill my business. And everybody was really terrified of it. But I think it's a really interesting look into you know, what people do, their vulnerabilities. And I think they really were sort of, they blazed the trail for all these shows because they were so flawed and imperfect and honest about it for the most part. I mean, you know, I don't know. But for me, that's why when I came onto the show, when I was 40, I was like, I'm not going to be some sort of fraudulent version of myself. I want to be flawed. I want to be able to show my flaws because there's honesty in that. And I think that's the only thing that people really relate to.
Right.
And because of that, I made a lot of fans become clients. And, you know, there's not everybody's going to like me and I'm perfectly okay with that. But if I can be myself and I can live in that space on television, the people that do respond to me are going to stick with me. And so of course my business has, you know, I'm so grateful to Bravo for giving me that opportunity, but of course this business has tripled since I've been on the show. And, you know, we're going into different areas and I've also, you know, I wrote a book.
Yeah. Bestseller.
When did that happen? I don't even, you know, like, all of these incredible things, it's really opened me up to so much opportunity. And I don't even think I understood fully my power until I was on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's empowering. It must feel empowering.
Very much so.
Do people like DM you on Instagram and then like become clients? Does that happen or do they reach out?
It does. Wow. It happens. That happens all the time. You know, then I've had people approach me and be like, I DM'd you to list my house. And I'm like, I can't get to all the DMs.
Come on, babe. Like, come on.
Email my office, people. I will, you know, happily call you back.
There's an official capacity. Right, exactly.
Right. But, you know, I've had like some hilarious run-ins with people, but I've also met like people that knew me sort of peripherally and then watched the show and they were like, you know, I just really like how you work with your clients and I want to work with you. And so I was never a big advertiser. I always was in the business and it was all by word of mouth and referrals from friends or clients. Mm-hmm. And that worked for me. And I made a lot of money doing it. But now I'm meeting people that I've never worked with before because of the show. And I'm creating all these great relationships. And it's fun. It's like really cool to, you know, get calls from different countries or different states. And they're like, you know, we watch you on the show and we want to work with you and we love what you do. And that's an honor and it's a privilege. Mm-hmm. So I'm really enjoy it.
And the social media part is the free advertising. You know what I mean? You don't even have to really advertise. Like, it's like, that does the job for you. Do the job right there. Right.
Sometimes I wonder if like my social media is like, you know, I'm not necessarily 100% real estate focused, but that's just not who I am. By the way, who wants to watch that? That's so boring.
No, I think that's one, that's the beauty of the show is because I would say it's like, you know, it's like, it's probably like half real estate, a quarter, like intergroup, whatever. And then a quarter of your guys' personal life. And I think it's like, to me, like that, you kind of get the best of both worlds because you're on the show, you're spotlighting your career, but then you can still have bits and pieces of, you know, your life, but you don't have to share everything, you know, like you maybe you would on like a Real Housewives of Beverly, you know what I mean? Like that's different. Right. So you kind of get, I feel like you get the best of both. I don't know.
It is. It's been an incredible opportunity for my business. And, you know, obviously I think most importantly, just being a female, an incredible opportunity to connect with female entrepreneurs and, you know, women in real estate and in the corporate world. I didn't realize it was going to go there. It just organically did. And that's something that is like super exciting to me. And I'm having such a good time relating to women and talking about that. And I didn't know I would be in this position because of the show, but heck yeah, I'm all about it.
That's pretty cool are there certain forums and things that you do to connect with more up and coming entrepreneurs or agents?
Absolutely. I'm doing more and more speaking engagements and talking to women. And, you know, I've got a panel coming up with women that, you know, the fact that I get to sit on a panel with them, I can't announce it yet. But the fact that I get to interact with women that I admire, that I respect, and just share stories with other women and even men who are looking to get into our business or, you know, be an entrepreneur or start their own company. I was, you know, mentoring some teenagers at, you know, some of the craziest smart kids I've ever met in my life. And they all presented and pitched their businesses to me. And I had to pick the one that I felt, I mean, amazing. I loved them all, but like to be able to do that and have a space for that, I think is just probably the most rewarding part of all of this for me. So that's been another real bonus.
Amazing. You couldn't ask for something better. I think that feeds you probably just as much as it feeds them, you know?
Oh my God. It's paying it forward and that part of it, and working with these young kids and working with women or young entrepreneurs that want to get started and just helping them in any way that I can. It just feels good.
Well, Tracy, it was so fun to get to talk to you and get to connect.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for what the rest of the season of Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles holds.
I feel like it's
going to be good. Well, I'm excited for everyone to see this season. Tune into Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles Thursdays at 8 p.m. on Bravo. And Tracy, it was just so fun. So fun to get to talk to you.
You're so fun. Thank you for watching, Gibson. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. For more celebrity interviews, subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us, as any show of support you can give us would be greatly appreciated. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow In The Know at In The Know on Twitter and at Watch In The Know on Instagram. We'll talk to you next time.